This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop. All right, we're back. There it is, the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. And there he is, Manny Navarro. Manny, thank you for joining us as always, my brother. How you hanging in there?
Doing well, though. Just waiting for the hammer to fall, right? That's what we're doing the rest of the season, waiting to see when things are going to change in Coral Gables, if at all.
Do you think they'll change? Because I don't think they'll change. I think they'll bring them back next year no matter what, because I can't see them swallowing 2 years of salary.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, there's ways to work that out, right?
Yeah.
If Miami wanted to pay him to go away or work out some sort of deal here, Mark Richt, of course, left a lot of money on the table, right, when he retired. Maybe Manny Diaz feels some sense of guilt for what's happened.
He'll never have this shot again, dude. He's going to take all that cash. He's going to take all that cash because right now he hasn't built a resume to get back a defensive coordinator spot, okay, because –
yeah,
you know, it's not like his defense is tearing it up either. You know what I'm saying? So that's been a bad look. And you know what? I give them credit this week, man. They fought back. They got back into the game. Speaking of defense, actually, his defense figured out UNC. And that's the reason why they kind of got back into the mix. Obviously, the penalties, the turnover, all that other stuff reared its ugly head again. And the rest is history. But this week, I actually gave him a lot of credit for fighting back and getting back into that.
Yeah, the kids haven't quit on him. I mean, at least the younger kids, right? The ones that are getting an opportunity to play. So I think that's what matters as far as what the administration is concerned, right? You never want to have another situation where, you know, Clemson comes into your building and beats you 58-0, and it's a total embarrassment. They're not embarrassing Manny Diaz. I mean, they're embarrassing by losing. But they're not embarrassing him as in not putting forth effort and trying. So, yes, they're still fighting for Manny Diaz. They're still trying to win. But, you know, we're at the 30-game point. Oh, they're 16-14. And when I sat in Blake James's office, you know, 6 months after he hired Manny Diaz, as I wrote in my story this weekend, you know, I asked him, I said, when is Miami going to be back? When are they supposed to be back? You know, and what I meant by that was, hey, not when they're going to win the Coastal. But when are they going to actually be competing for the ACC championship and winning national championships? And he said 3 to 5 years. And we are closing in on 3 years. And the honest to God truth is they're just as mediocre as they were before under Al Golden and Randy Shannon. There is no excellence going on
here. They're not even close to being anything like that.
As I wrote, they're one or two plays away from being mediocre. Right, because if they make the field goal and Tyler Van Dyke throws a touchdown pass instead of getting intercepted at the end of that North Carolina game, they're 4-2 and 2-0 in the ACC, and everybody's they still got a chance. But the whole point is, it's not when do they get to the point where they contend for the Coastal or win the Coastal. It's when do they get back to winning championships, right? When do they get back to playing for championships? And that's the thing I think we can't lose sight of, because I think for too long we've been lulled into this concept of, well, they're building it, you know, Al, he's recruiting well, he's got these good recruiting classes. And then you get to that point and then they lose to Virginia or they lose to Duke and then you're just, oh man, they just missed making the Coastal. That's not what Miami should be about. It should be about winning championships. And, you know, if that's what they hired Manny Diaz to do, he's falling well short of that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. We know that the transfer portal is probably going to be very active with guys that are going to want to get out because they're not getting opportunities. But on the flip side, the younger guys aren't seeing anything impressive on the coaching side. So, yeah, they're getting playing time. But, you know, the cynical one in me says, are these young guys hungry to put something on film to help their transfer also a little easier too, because I get the feeling that this transfer portal is going to be loaded with kids that you wanted to get rid of and kids that you wanted to keep.
Yeah, it's tough to say, because you know, the one thing I can say about the transfer portal is it's always loaded. there are over 1,000 players in that transfer portal right now. Kids that thought, well, you know what? This is a bad situation. I'm going to go somewhere else. Well, what coaches are doing now is they're looking at that transfer portal and they're saying, well, this guy sucked at Texas Tech, or this guy sucked at Georgia Tech, or this guy sucked at North Carolina. Why am I going to take him at another Power Five school? Right. So what's basically happened is people look at the transfer portal and say, oh, this is about players getting better. No, ultimately, this is about coaches bringing in better players. And if they can't find those better players, they're just going to say, you know what? Give me the high school kid who I can try to develop. And so that's this is why we have reached an era now where it's really unprecedented, right? Like, you look at Michigan State and what they did. They took in 20 transfers. They had a new coach come in. And instead of saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take my time and develop high school guys. He said, you know what? I'm gonna bank on my own coaching ability. I'm going to get this running back from Wake Forest who was splitting carries, and I'm going to turn him into a Heisman Trophy guy. And he did it. Mel Tucker did that job. He built enough around them so that they could win enough games. But it takes a special coach who has that vision, who has that experience, who's coached at the next level, like Tucker has, who's coached on championship-winning teams at Alabama, et cetera, who can do the job. And so, to me, you know, while we can sit here and say, well, maybe there'll be great players that leave Miami, yeah, that might happen. But I think a lot of these kids have seen their friends enter the transfer portal and end up nowhere and end up stuck. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of tampering. You know, there's rules against that. You're not allowed to tamper.
No.
There's going to be a ton of tampering, which, you know, it happens all the time, right? They go through the high school coach, they go through the parents, they go through other sources to get a hold of the kid. But there's going to be a ton of that this offseason. I'm really interested to see how the NCAA and how schools police themselves, because ultimately it's going to be schools turning on each other. Hey, you're trying to take my players away. You know, that's going to be the next frontier here, I think, in the offseason to come.
All right. Bad news with Cam Harris, unfortunately, suffers the season ending injury. He's a junior, so he still has a year left. Right. Does he end up coming back?
He might have to, or he might end up transferring somewhere else, though, because, you know, he's in a situation where, assuming it's an ACL, and I think that's what it is, he won't be back in time even for the combine or the draft or any of that kind of stuff, right, to show teams what he has. Yep. And to me, he's a borderline day three pick. He's a guy who's going somewhere between fifth and seventh. My guess, he goes undrafted now because of the ACL, right, because teams want to see if they're going to invest a pick. You know, he'll get a camp invite, and hopefully by then he can correct things. But if I'm Cam Harris – And I don't know if he's gotten his degree yet. I'm assuming he has. You know, go back, get your degree. He's got a mom who's a smart lady, a lady who's gonna push him to achieve everything he can achieve. And maybe he goes somewhere else next year. I don't know. Maybe he comes back. I know he was taking on more of a leadership role for this team this year. He was doing more in terms of, you know, talking to teammates, and they named him one of the four captains. So maybe he comes back. Maybe Manny Diaz, if he's still here, or whoever the next coach is, says, come back. But my guess is, you know, he'll test the NFL waters. He'll see what they say. And if they're giving him the day three prognosis, he probably comes back to college football in some form.
Not only that, dude, Jalen Knighton just.
Yeah, that's just the real reason. Like, him and Chaney.
He just looks like he's at another level of talent, is what I'm saying. When you look at Knighton, he looks like a dude that can house it anytime he touches it.
Yeah, and Chaney is as well. I mean, both of those guys are higher rated coming out of high school than Cameron was. You know, most people thought Cameron's teammate at Carroll City, who ended up going to Florida, that was a better running back than Cam. Cam's a solid NFL downhill runner. He's a guy that if he plays special teams and he blocks, he'll be on an NFL roster in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I don't see much difference between him and DJ Dallas and Travis Homer, who are the third and fourth running backs in Seattle. I mean, he's that kind of guy who could find a spot on a roster just as a backup or special teams type guy. So hopefully for him, it works out. He's not a bad kid. I think, you know, he expected more for his career, you know, and for himself at Miami. I think he had some frustrating moments, and you know, hope, I wish the best for him either way.
Is Van Dyke, does he have the opportunity of sealing this job for next year? Because I mean, the kid played well, man. He made some throws at times. He's got some ability. Yeah, he's going to make some mistakes. He's a young kid and still learning. But, man, there were some throws. That sidearm throw that he threw, that was That's the kind of shit that you just don't teach, dude. I don't. Right. They don't teach you those kind of things when you're playing that position. You either have it or you don't. And I give the kid a lot of credit, man. He moves pretty well for a big guy overall. But I was really impressed with him overall as a quarterback. I like what I saw from the kid.
Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately for him, he's battling nerves at the beginning of the game, you know, and as right. Brett Lashley pointed out yesterday, it's like you can see that he's just, for whatever reason, maybe he's too juiced up, maybe he's just, you know, a kid who takes some time to settle in. I think, and I said this before the season started, I thought Miami had three power five starting quarterbacks on their roster. And, you know, one way or another, it always works itself out, right? De'Aaron King gets hurt. Tyler Van Dyke gets his opportunity in part because Jake Garcia went down too.
Right.
So
right.
I think, you know, one way or the other, Miami's going to have at least one quality starting quarterback on its roster next year, whether Jake Garcia decides to stick it out, come back and compete for the job, or Tyler Van Dyke decides to leave because Jake Garcia is the better quarterback. I don't know. We're going to see how it pans out. I can tell you this. I felt after watching both him and Garcia in the spring, I thought Garcia was a little bit better than him. And some of the word trickling out after this injury was that, you know, ultimately some people on the inside thought Jake Garcia would win the starting job because he's more of the complete quarterback, more of the complete leader that Tyler isn't, you know, that he's not as vocal as Jake is. But, you know, again, it's a good problem to have. You get this kid to audition for the next several games without having to worry about anybody else coming back. I think Jake Garcia at the earliest comes back for the last game or two, if that. So, you know, at this point, if he can win some games, if he somehow manages to lead Miami to a win Saturday, which I don't think is going to happen, or the following week at Pittsburgh, which I don't think is going to happen. But if he somehow pulls off some wins here the next couple weeks, then you have to feel good about him as your quarterback.
All right. But the way you kind of made it sound, is this what your gut tells you? Because you made it sound in a way that maybe whoever wins that job, the other guy says, F that, I'm out of here. Is that kind of the feeling you're getting?
It's just the way it is in college football, right? Like it just happens. And like I said, both of those guys know that they could start at a power five level. Okay. And let's not forget, Dan Enos is the one who recruited Tyler Van Dyke. Okay. That's the coaching staff that recruited him. Jake Garcia got pulled in by Rhett Lashley. So if Rhett Lashley's still here, maybe both guys stick around. But if Rhett Lashley goes, maybe Jake Garcia follows him wherever he goes. You know, it depends on what happens with the coaching situation. And, you know, again, these kids, they feel like they can play. I think they both stick it out through the spring. And then if something becomes apparent where one guy is definitely in front of the other, then I think the guy who's the backup takes off.
Any developments on the recruiting side?
Well, as I told you, I think last week, the Traquan Fagans kid, the cornerback who was a top 100 player in the country, Alabama kid, went to Alabama. So again, it just comes down to real simple for Miami. You're not going to get the elite kids if Alabama, Georgia, or somebody else wants them. If those schools want them, you're going to have to find somebody else to replace them. And essentially, Traquan Fagans, you know, did that. So again, we talk about recruiting, right? In South Florida, getting the elite players, getting the players beyond South Florida that can help your program win and get to an elite level. Miami's still not doing that enough consistently, though. They're just not. And you can't do that unless you win consistently with what you have. And again, North Carolina and Virginia, very winnable games for Miami the last 2 weeks. If you're a recruit, you have people around you saying, why do you want to go to that program? They're 2-4. Their coach is going to get fired. So it's hard. It's a tough a climate to recruit in. Randy Shannon experienced that towards the end. Al Golden experienced that towards the end. Even Mark Richt, okay, before he retired. There were kids defecting off of those recruiting classes that he had his last year. So, again, win consistently at Miami or stay in mediocrity forever.
Manny, if they end up winning, let's say, 4 or 5 games, 6 games,
mm-hmm.
they have a terrible season. Does the AD and the coach survive in your eyes, what's your gut tell you on that?
My gut tells me that the school president is under a lot of pressure right now to do something, right? To not sit on his hands. He made that announcement saying he was going to hire somebody or not hire somebody, but have his guys look into the situation to see how it can get better. It's always a financial thing at Miami. It's always a financial deal at the University of Miami. It never has anything to do, to me, with winning or striving for more winning or making the fans happy. Like, to me, if it makes financial sense and they have the right person to replace Blake James, then maybe they make that change. But if they don't and they don't feel comfortable, I don't see anything changing. That's it. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that. Oh, I think you have to go with history. You can't just go and expect that all of a sudden things are going to change. I know Gary Furman from Kane Sport reported, wrote a big article that just came out today saying that the guy the school president put in charge is working with the Moss family and trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to put more money forth to improve the situation. I'll believe it when I see it.
The Moss family?
Yes. Jose Moss is one of the board of trustees.
So Jose Moss is going to put money into trying to get a coach?
I don't know that he's going to put his own money, but supposedly the leaders of the administration, according to Gary Furman, are looking into the situation. But again, when have we ever seen Miami throw money at a problem?
Yeah, no, I have a hard time believing that too. I don't believe the Moss family will throw money at that either. Just saying.
Why? Why would they?
Huh?
What is there to gain?
No. Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't think so. Yeah. So, you know, and after dealing with what I dealt with in, you know. Don't think they're going to be – they need to throw money in their own cause, not somebody else's cause. I'm just saying. Right. You know, just saying from experience, you know. I'm just saying.
Right, right. You know,
so you may want to spend somewhere else. Right. You may want to fix another house that you need to fix overall. And they're about to lose their asses with the Matuidi and Pizarro deals because nobody's going to want those guys. Those things are overpaid. The Higuain is overpaid. They're going to lose so much money. There is no way. They're also going to put money into that situation because there's not enough money on the soccer side as it is. So, you know, I don't buy that. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think any money is going to be thrown into it. That's kind of a story that I think. In fact, if I'm Moss, I may not want to be tied to that story because then expectations come with it, and they have no expectations. Yet people might be setting expectations for them that are not realistic. You know what I'm saying? So that may be an issue there. All right, NC State. This is what, the second best team this year that they're playing, right? Alabama, then NC State? I mean,
I would say
this is, this is a game I fear, actually.
It's kind of it's kind of a tie. Oh, I think Pittsburgh and NC State, those are probably going to be teams in the ACC
Championship. Yeah, but you haven't played Pittsburgh. But you haven't played Pittsburgh yet. So
right, they're on deck.
This is the second best game. I love Pickett, dude. Love Pickett. That kid's going to play in the NFL. That kid's a winner, dude. I like him. But go ahead. What do you think about this game?
No, yeah, I agree. I think NC State probably wins this game by two or three touchdowns. I think, you know, Miami's going to go out there. Unless Tyler Van Dyke all of a sudden turns into fourth quarter Tyler Van Dyke, right? Where he's that guy from the get-go and they're just moving down the field. Because you're going to need offense in this game. NC State plays great defense. I mean, Jalen Knighton, he may want to run the football, but this is a much better defense than the North Carolina defense. So, I think NC State probably wins this game by two or three touchdowns. But I think, again, Miami stays in it. I don't think they get embarrassed. I know I said you could lose this game by two or three touchdowns, but you know what I mean. 58-0 is different than two or three touchdowns and losing a game 28-14 or 31-14 or whatever it is. I think as long as they're in the fight and they're moving the football and they have a chance, Manny Diaz doesn't have to worry. You know, and I think they're gonna play for him. They're good enough. There's good enough young players on this roster. There's enough Jalen Knightons. There's enough Elijah Royals. There's enough Romello Brinsons. There's enough, you know, Keyshawn Smiths and James Williams and the kid who just had the pick, the Jafari Harvey who had the picks. There's enough guys that are gonna make plays to keep them in games and keep them respectable. And those guys want to play because they want to show, hey, we're good players, whether it's here at Miami or elsewhere.
The defense kind of figuring these guys out last week, is that something they can build on? Because I was actually impressed You know, when as that defense got better and better as the game went on and kept them in that game, do you see that as something that can roll over into this week? Because some of that stuff we saw defensively last week, I would like to see again this week against North Carolina State.
Well, I think Keontre Smith makes a big difference at linebacker. Okay, he's a very fast, you know, undersized linebacker, a guy who can get to the quarterback, put pressure, make plays in the backfield. He only ended up playing, I think, 30 snaps, but he played great in the game. James Williams, if he stays away from the stupid penalties, he's a great player.
Come on. He's the new Amari Carter now?
Well, I wouldn't call him Amari Carter. The one where he got pushed into the kicker was a teammate pushing him into the kicker, okay? And then, you know, there were a couple of flags last week that I was just kind of shaking my head. Like, I can't believe the refs called that. For instance, the Zach McLeod, when he tackled Howell, they talked about throwing all his weight on top of him. Like, I've never heard of that rule, throwing all your weight on top of a quarterback. It's like, what is he supposed to do? He's got the guy by his torso. What is he supposed to softly place him on the ground? But anyway, again, I think with James Williams, he's just an aggressive kid. He's going to play the game really hard. You're going to have to live with some of that stuff. But you ask me, is he a better player than Amari Carter? By far. I mean, the guy knows exactly how to locate the player with the ball and pursue him and bring him down. I just think he's trying to make a play like a lot of the other guys, trying to make big plays to pop. And you know, he just has to settle down and wrap up. If he does that, and by the way, Cameron Kitch is another guy who I really like a lot, the other safety. And you're going to get Avante Williams back this week. He'll play some. You know, they got to keep certain guys off the field. The guys like Gervin Hall who continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Yes.
Avante Williams will get Gervin Hall snaps. I think you're going to see a lot more of Marcus Clark, who unfortunately had that ball go through his hands against Virginia. But that kid is lightning fast. And he played receiver in high school. So he knows how to hold on to the football. He just happened to have one go through his hands. So I think there's going to be better players on the field this week, but NC State's a better team than North Carolina, so I don't expect Miami to win.
Let's get to our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes reports with the one and only Manny Navarro. Follow him on Twitter, for those of you listening on the podcast, at Manny_Navarro. All right, Manny, it's NC State this week, and listen, man, I don't mind any swag whatsoever, you know. Tyler Hero had a lot of swag last year and didn't live up to the swag. You know what I'm saying? He lived up to it in the bubble,
right?
But he didn't live up to the swag. So Tyler Van Dyke, another Tyler, was maybe a little too confident considering you're a really bad football team. And listen, let me tell you something. I like what I saw from the kid last week. That sidearm throw and everything that he did, I was like, whoa, you know, moxie, a little juicier. How about that? The kid's finding ways to make plays. That's what I like, playmakers. I like guys that adjust to what's going on, and he had to adjust by making that throw. You know what I mean? So I'm impressed with Van Dyke. I like him, but I just want you to pile on the success before you start acting like you've had that success.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing with this group, with this freshman group, you know, the guys in the last two cycles that Manny Diaz has brought in, they have a lot of confidence. There's a lot of swag, inner swag in these guys. And I think Tyler's the kind of guy who is just trying to exude that confidence, you know, to the rest of his teammates. That, hey, we really were just a couple plays away from being 4-2 and not 0-2 in the conference. And that's the reality, yo. I mean, they were.
It is.
I mean, if that kick goes through the uprights and he throws a touchdown instead of a pick, Miami's it's a different narrative right now. Granted, everybody's still killing Manny Diaz for how bad the defense looks, and, you know, nobody's certainly overlooking that. I just think in his eyes and in a lot of the young players' eyes that this isn't that far away from turning around in their eyes. Now, look, should you go out and say some of the things that he said publicly?
No, they're better than you. You gave them bulletin board material.
Right.
Come on, dude. Right.
And now you got to back it up. And if he doesn't back it up, this is going to be a lot of egg on his face. If he plays terribly and Miami gets killed tomorrow night, which very well could happen. I mean, this NC State team has been solid. They've done everything that this Miami team was supposed to do, right? I mean, they've basically, their upperclassmen have lived up to the billing. Miami's haven't. And so we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But I'm not expecting a W. I'm not expecting a W the next 2 weeks. I think they fought a 2-6. And then it's about can they become bowl eligible over the last four. So, but, hey, I like the fact the kid's confident. I do. I think yeah, that's a good sign.
I just want the confidence inside the locker room with his teammates, right, and practice, not out in public. Hey, what did we score, 44 on them last year? Like, you know, it's like, first of all, kid, you weren't even on the field. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you know, and it was like, those are two different teams last year, and you're making it sound like you're 5-1 right now, not 2-4. You know what I mean? You're making it sound right, like, you know, relax, bro, but don't put any extra pressure on yourself as it is right. In fact, you're playing with no pressure. You are playing with no expectations. Now you're putting your own expectations. Now you're adding pressure and you're feeding bulletin board material. Man, you don't need that shit right now.
No,
that,
you don't.
That's the part that I just wish you would have been a little smarter, man. Because I like it from the kid.
I like him. Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny how tone deaf I think people at Miami are right now. I mean, just in general, Bubba Bolden did an interview with us in the middle of the week. And I don't know if this is a topic you wanted to get into eventually too, but he told us he thinks he's playing well, that he thinks he's playing good this year.
I saw that.
And then, you know, the school athletic department Twitter, you know, they're trying to tweet out positive things, and they're tweeting out how the 2001 team is supposed to be honored on Saturday, and how, I mean, you just look underneath everything that they tweet, and it's fans just ripping. Fire Manny Diaz, fire Blake James. Like, it's almost like, hey, we're 2-4, but the starting quarterback would never make you feel like they're 2-4. The starting safety would never make you feel like they're playing terribly on defense. And then the own Twitter account is just on another planet. They're just, so to me, it's just a disconnect of reality and reading the room and understanding, you know, what situation you're in.
Yeah, and I thought when Tyler was like, well, you know, coach tells us to go out there and play with confidence and go out, and it's like, yeah, dude, but maybe he's kind of telling you to, you know, do that from within, not on the outside. You know what I mean? It just,
right,
I just kind of feel like you put yourself in a really difficult position. So why do you think they'll struggle this week against NC State? Obviously, NC State, what is it, 18, I think they're in the country or something. So
yeah, their defense, I mean, Miami has played two horrible defenses the last two games. I mean, Virginia was horrendous on defense, and they only gave up 28 points to Miami. And, you know, North Carolina.
They kind of shut down Miami that first half, actually.
Right, and the same thing happened against North Carolina. Miami's offense didn't do anything in the first half against them either. And a lot of that had to do with Tyler Van Dyke. And just, you know, the one thing we hear over and over, oh, in all these interviews, and you know, God, I have to listen to them all. Every one of these interviews is like, I don't know how many times you've noticed this as well, but how many times they say, yeah, they threw something at us we weren't expecting, nothing that we saw on film, you know, like nothing. There's always this sort of like, well, we need a half to figure out what they're doing before we can adjust. And it's been that way since Manny Diaz took over. I hear that all the time, not only from players, but from the coaches. The coaches use that as an excuse. Yeah, they came out in something that we just weren't, like, as if everybody saved something just for Miami, right? Like, they're
You know, it's funny. The Canes suck in that style, and then the Dolphins suck the other way. They designed their first couple of plays. And their first drive is magical. And then after that, they're shit out of luck, bro. They don't know what the hell they're doing after that. So it's like the reverse. So maybe the two coaching staffs can get together, and one can teach them how to start, the other one can teach them how to finish. I don't know. What the hell?
It really is sad. I was looking this up as I was listening to you interview Omar. I was on here looking up how many
– looking at chili is what you were
that,
doing. You
that too. I was looking that up. But besides that, cause as I wear my Chargers, t-shirt that I ordered with Justin Herbert, name on the back, eight all pros drafted, I think since Jimmy Johnson left, and four of them were Jimmy's, or I mean, four of them, eight since Don Shula left, and four of the, all pros were Jimmy guys. So only four all pros since the end of the Jimmy Johnson era have been drafted by the Dolphins. Like, that's ridiculous. That is so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad they are at evaluating talent for the last 25, 26 years.
And they were Jimmy's all pros. After that, there is none, right?
Well, I'm talking about since the end of the Don Shula era, Jimmy took over. He drafted four All Pros, obviously.
Right.
In that short, whatever it was, 4-year window that he was in charge. After he left, there's only been four All Pros drafted by the Dolphins. Can you name them?
Holy shit. After Sam, Pat, and Jason, and Zach. Wait a minute, but they were drafted by Miami?
Drafted by the Dolphins. Four All Pros have been drafted since Jimmy Johnson.
Well, X might be one, I guess.
Yeah, X is one.
X is one. Drafted by my. Well, wait a minute. Laremy Tunsil, did he make an All Pro?
No, did not make an All Pro. Okay. He was a Pro Bowler.
Pro Bowler.
I'm talking All Pro because anybody can make the Pro Bowl these years with the way how many guys get invited.
Did Minka make an All Pro?
Minka made an All Pro. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's two.
There was only one during the Rick Spielman, Randy Mueller, Jeff Ireland, and Dennis Hickey.
Rashad Jones?
Jake Long, the only one.
Oh, that's right, Jake Long. That's right.
Right, and the last one was Jason Sanders. So those are the four All Pros that have been drafted since Jimmy Johnson. That's it. I mean, that just tells you everything you need to know about the Dolphins, right? I mean, what else? Right.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you can't go 25 years with four All Pros, man. I'm sorry.
No, that's why you don't win anything. Yeah. And you only won some games at the end of the century and at the beginning of it because your defense was good enough to keep you in a whole bunch of games. Because JJ and Zach and Sam and Pat kept you in a bunch of games that really, yep. You know, it wasn't because your offense was anything special overall. Yeah, no, you're right. It's just, yeah, it's been such a bad run, man. It has been so bad. And I thought we were going to get out of it here, man. What can I tell you? All right. So this week, defense is the issue. Offensively, well, listen, not just offensively, just overall. The one thing I will say is that the games are actually a little bit better to watch only because some of these young guys are now playing. I mean, watching this kid run the ball last week, and not that I have anything. I love watching Cam Harris play. He's a tough runner, a blue-collar guy. But this kid that took over has got – that's gifts.
Yeah.
That's,
hope that, sells. That's, hope yeah, sells. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Knighton, you know, Rooster, as he's called, was – right. Him and Don Chaney Jr., two of the better running backs that have come out of this area. You know, obviously there's a lot of – NFL guys from the Dade Broward area now, right? With Sony Michel and Dalvin Cook and all the guys that are playing in the league. But these two guys are of that same pedigree. The problem is Chaney's just always been hurt throughout his career, even in high school. And Rooster, you know, he was splitting the load last year with Cam. And so he didn't really get too many opportunities to shine. He's more of that Alvin Kamara, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield, explosive type guy. Chaney's more of your workhorse. And I think, you know, the running back, I'm not worried about the running back position the next couple of years. I think offensively, there are enough guys between the quarterbacks and the receivers, the Romello Brinsons, the Elijah Royals. I think they've got a ton of really good players on offense. My issue is the defense. And can you find enough guys that can tackle? And it's funny, you know, yesterday I drove over to American Heritage High School, okay, which is, you know, produced a bunch of, they got nine guys in the NFL now.
Yeah.
Just American Heritage High School. And I think it's the third most. And I was sitting there talking to Pat Surtain for a while about tackling. I'm like, why is it so bad? And he just seems to think that in general, because it's not practiced anymore. There's no practice. And so these guys and there's just such a reluctance to just get dirty. It's like, well, I'm just going to shove this guy. He'll fall. You know, there's no pride in really hitting a guy and tackling him. They want to hit him to get the big highlight hit. But in terms of like, you know, just getting the job done, there's so many guys. And yet you look at the freshmen that were on the field last week, James Williams, when he wasn't getting penalized. I mean, he was getting shot out of a cannon and hitting guys and wrapping them up. Cam Kitchens, the other safety, was hitting guys, wrapping them up. Leonard Taylor was hitting guys, wrapping them up. So the younger guys are better tacklers than the older guys. And so that's why if you're going to take a positive out of anything, it's like, well, at least the future doesn't look so shitty, right? At least the guys that are going to be here the next couple of years know what they're doing. Can we get more of them on the field? And I think we are. I think that's what's going to happen over the second half of the season. You're going to see more and more. And if you read my story in The Athletic, I actually charted I think there's 12 guys here that have played more than 70 snaps so far for Miami. And, you know, they're graded among the higher guys on the team by Pro Football Focus. And a lot of it is they're just not missing tackles. They're not making as many mistakes as the older guys are. So,
well, let's hope so. Let's hope it improves, man, because, I mean, the kids are still playing hard. I believe Tyler when he said, hey, man, we're all still in this together. And you see it out on the field, just like the Dolphins, as bad as it's been, I haven't really seen the team quit overall on the coach yet. Now, hey, it could happen down the line. And I also wonder, you know, for these young guys, if the losing continues, do they decide to transfer and go somewhere else? Since they put a lot of good film out there now, people will pick them up right away, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I do worry about that, but I will say this, that's what I'm looking at now. That's what I found myself looking at this past week, is I was looking at what's in the future now, because obviously the present is done. You're not really accomplishing anything this year anyway. So let's just move on and see what you've got for the future. What are you working on over in the Athletics so folks can check you out, my brother?
Well, I was going to do a story on American Heritage, just the way that program, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas for so many years was the premier high school down here, and they still are. They still produce the most NFL players, the second most behind IMG Academy, but American Heritage is third nationally now in terms of NFL guys in the league. And it's kind of a great little story of just, you know, this woman who's the athletic director there, Karen Stearns. She was a cheerleading coach for many, many years. They move her over. She replaced Jeff Dellenbach, who was former Dolphin.
Who was the
AD there. And as soon as she came in, she promotes Mike Rumpf to head coach. And all of a sudden now they've got 9 guys in the NFL. They've got a bunch of other top kids around the country college-wise that they're going to be draft picks in the years to come. And it's kind of like this overnight, you know, sensation where now they're up there with St. Thomas Aquinas in terms of producing great players. So that's kind of one of the local stories. And then, of course, I'll be at the game tomorrow night and I'll be writing off of that and whatever happens. I have a midseason report on the Hurricanes that's up on The Athletic right now, where I did a ton of sort of analysis and perspective and whatnot. And there's a podcast that I put out, I think Tuesday or Wednesday night. Wednesday it came out. The Wide Right podcast. So there's plenty of content on there to read, and more to come here as this season unfolds. The one thing I'll say with Manny Diaz and Blake James, a couple things that I've heard. One, I've heard from a couple people now that they think Blake will be out at the end of the year. At that point, what does that mean for Manny Diaz? I don't know. But I've heard that from a couple of different people who are around the program and in different ways, agents, et cetera, people that would speak to higher ups about what's going on out there. I know parents are nervous, you know, because they like Manny Diaz. They like the coaching staff. And the fact that Blake James has said nothing to sort of calm their nerves publicly makes them feel like, okay, this is a tense situation. So we may see kids jump the gun and go somewhere else at some point here. As you said, I think there's just nervousness in general among the parents.
By the way, what is the name of the athletic director at American Heritage?
Karen Stearns. Karen
Stearns, right? Okay. Do me a favor, dude. I got another story for you.
Go ahead.
Fucking fire Blake James and hire her.
Well,
fuck, dude.
I know.
And we got a better AD at American Heritage than we do at the University of Miami.
Hey, she's done a great job, man.
I know American Heritage people are now going to get pissed off at me. Like, no, don't be taking away our woman. But now, damn right, let's go. Hire her at the University of Miami. She obviously cares about sports. Maybe she does. Can fight with the president and straighten his ass out.
They've done an amazing job, man. And that school, let me tell you, everybody talks about the facilities at St. Thomas Aquinas. They just built a $28 million facility. The owner of the school put all this money in to build them an indoor gym and brand new locker room, brand new weight room. And I mean, the kids, if you're a kid, a local kid, and you want to make it, You want to go to American Heritage, right? You want the financial aid, whatever they're going to offer to get you in there and to help get you to the next level. Because listen, every one of those kids, they can't graduate from American Heritage without being fully qualified for college. That's the requirement. They will not pass you as a high school graduate unless you're fully qualified for college. That's a minimum that they make.
Karen Stearns. Come on, man.
From a cheerleading coach, man. A cheerleading coach who worked in the compliance office to athletic director. Great story.
She's the Andy Ellisberg of American Heritage.
She is. Doing a great job.
Basically. I mean, come on. Let's go. We have the answer to straightening out the University of Miami football program's problems. Karen Stearns, it's right there, bro, for the taking. Let's go hire this woman. She's good.